Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word, due recognizing that it's the information that's contained in your Word provides us with the information that we need to have to understand the spiritual situation that we face, that ultimately is manifested in the empirical world that we live in, recognizing that we are here as part of the resolution of the angelic conflict and our association with Jesus Christ, and that he has already defeated Satan and his fallen angels, and that we are left here to participate with him, and as a result to glorify you and to be benefited by the process. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that's communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. In Lamentations 3, we have Jeremiah's statement regarding his status quo, and for that matter, the believer's status quo, as it related to the fall of the southern kingdom. He says, this I recall to mind, and it gives me confidence, because the Lord's mercy never fails. His grace provisions never cease. They're renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And he goes on a verse or two later to say, therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to wait silently on him. So in our study of the winner believer, per Hebrews 12:2, where we see Jesus as the prototype and archon of the church age believer, and the point of reference for our function, where it says fixing our eyes on Jesus. And remember, this is a segue from Hebrews 11, where you have the faith chapter that describes the faith heroes of the Old Testament under the ritual plan. And of course, we now live in the church age under the protocol plan, and Jesus was the one who transitioned from the ritual to the protocol. He completely fulfilled the law, and as a result became the end of the law for righteousness for all who believe. And he did that utilizing the protocol plan, which he then conveyed to church age believers in order to advance God's plan in reality and not just in ritual. So we have Jesus as the archon, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So this takes Jesus' complete role in his work in the spiritual life, as well as his going to the cross impeccable to receive the imputation and judgment of the sins of the world. And then that is parlayed into the believer's connection with him in Christ, Revelation 2:7 being one of those passages referring to this in Revelation 2 and 3, discussing the winner believer's connection with the strategic winner, Jesus Christ. It says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes. So here we have the Holy Spirit leading the local assemblies, and individuals within the local assemblies are commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, per 2 Peter 3:18. So to those who actually fulfill that mandate and overcome, the word overcome is the word that comes from the winner, or the word nakayo, that refers to those who take advantage of God's grace and deploy it for maximum benefit under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have the blessings accrue to them as a result of their union with Christ and in tactical victory. He says, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. So we have a whole list of blessings that accrue to the winner in association with Christ that enable them to do things in the eternal state that others will not be able to do. So that, again, it's the winner believer who receives these blessings. So we've noted that winners are the unknown, unsung 100 heroes of history. That is 2 Corinthians 6:9. They're well known yet unknown. It's dying, yet behold, we live, punished, yet not put to death. So here we see the enigma that the believer is as they advance in the plan of God. And we're going to note this in our study of super grace that's coming up today, and see that super grace blessing accrues to the believer as a result of their positive listening to the Word. But in association with super grace comes categories of suffering, as they become witnesses for God in the angelic conflict. So you have the enigma of super grace along with undeserved suffering. And the perfect representative of this is Job, who we know regularly because he was actually set apart and called to the attention of Satan as if he needed it. I'm sure Satan was completely aware of Job in the situation, but God actually highlights Job and references him as one who is a winner. And then Satan says, well, if you take the blessing away from him and take the wall of fire away from him, then he will deny you and curse you to your face and disobey. And of course, at that point it was game on, because God knew that Job would come through. And in the process, Job would actually learn more about who and what God was as he suffered for blessing with the grace that God provided for him in the midst of the adversity. So, winners are those who are not considered to be by the world to be wise or noble, for 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. But they are the crisis personalities who stand in the spiritual gap, preserving the nation during the course of human history, per Ezekiel 22:30-31. So, what we see here is a connection between the nation and the winner believer. Under the principle of as goes the believer, so goes the client nation. Ezekiel 22, verse 30 says, I searched for a man among them who would build up a wall and stand in the gap for me, for the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. So here we see a lack of individuals who have positive listening to the word of God. And as a result, God's integrity has to ultimately judge this nation. He goes on and says, thus I poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with my fire of my wrath, and their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord God. So here we have the concept of sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind, and that in the connection or the various axioms that connect to that, including you can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. So we have the consequences of negative volition to God's word of truth automatically brings adversity and destruction. The winners glorify God by learning God's word of truth, enabling them to exploit God's grace system to the maximum, because they wait patiently on him instead of trying to do it themselves. We have this principle in 2 Peter 3:18 and 2 Peter 1:2. So it has to do with having capacity from doctrine to wait on God's grace, because you're familiar with the system, with God's grace system, and how the protocol operates by means of grace and faith. And doctrine is the data, the information that is necessary to understand grace, and then grace is what comes to the believer who actually builds capacity from doctrine, or actually submits to the Holy Spirit and allows the Holy Spirit to build capacity within them. Because remember, it's not our power that's involved, it's the Holy Spirit's power, because the power must be from God and not from man. Since the winner exploits God's grace system to the maximum, we've taken up a study of grace in the context of exploiting it in order to become a winner or victor in God's grace system. It provides for believers while they are physically alive in the devil's world as members of God's royal family, in union with Jesus Christ under the principle of greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And of course that's found in John 4, where we have the connection between the winner believer, actually every believer, in Jesus Christ. Because remember, we are in union with him, and as a result of our position, we have all the resources that he had to fulfill the objectives that God has for us. So we have a different set of objectives, but in the same way that he deployed them, we deploy them. That means under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We've noted that logistical grace is completely compatible with God's integrity because it does not comprise its perfect essence. And last time we noted that logistical grace is how God sustains the believer's life in spite of opposition in the devil's world. And we saw this in Job 5:20, where it says, even in seven things evil will not touch you. In famine he will redeem you, in war from the power of the sword. You will be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. You will not be afraid of violence when it comes. You will laugh at violence and famine, and you will not be afraid of wild beasts. So the point here is that the believer in association with Christ in the Word of God is going to be protected by God's power from these various assaults from the dark side, and in the midst of them even. So it doesn't mean they won't happen. It's just that there will be security in the Word of God that will cover the believer in the in the midst of the adversity. In Psalms, we have other passages associated with this, which I'll just reference. Psalm 33:19, Psalm 56:13, Psalm 68:19-20. So God is, this was David's recall of God's provision for him under the various adversities that he faced in the challenges that God permitted him to encounter. We noted that under grace, the time, manner, and place of physical death is a matter of God's sovereignty, and God can and often does prolong the believer's physical life on the earth. And of course, this also has to do with truth. One of the blessings of truth is length of life. In fact, Paul notes in, I believe it's in Colossians and possibly in Ephesians as well, the connection between obedience to parents and long life. And of course, that has to do with humility. And obedience to parents is where humility is learned. Enforced humility in the home leads to real humility, which is the type of humility that comes from doctrine. And so a young child can learn humility in the home, and that then they receive blessing in many environments that they face subsequently, because in most cases God's blessings accrue through powers of authority under a various establishment protocol. So you have the connection between humility and positive volition to legitimate authority in the various categories that exist. And of course, that would involve positive volition to the word, marriage, family, and nationalism, and all the various subcategories that exist in those areas. So we have God who actually prolongs physical life in Psalms 102:19-20 and 23-24. Where it says, He has weakened my strength in my way, He has shortened my days. I say to God, do not take me away in the midst of my day. So here we have David actually praying that God would prolong his life. And of course, he went through adversities times where he failed miserably and failed to acknowledge, rebound. He failed to take advantage of God's grace in rebound. And one of those cases was, of course, his prolonged sin associated with the Bathsheba Uriah incident, where he took a woman that didn't belong to him and raped her and sired a child through her and tried to hide it, and then killed her husband because husband did not aid and abet the process. So he didn't want to be found out, but of course he was found out because of the way things worked out. We also see the concepts of this in Psalms 118, the entire chapter, where it relates to God preserving mankind and becoming a source of no fear, that being doctrine, of course. And then in Proverbs 14:27, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. So here you see the principle of God's word protecting the believer because of one's awareness of the consequences, and unintended consequences of bad decisions. So in essence, compliance with God's word will often lengthen one's life, just because you make good decisions from a position of strength. And under the principle of sowing to life, you receive blessing. You know, that's what happens. That's the inverse of sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind. So you can choose life and sow to that, or you can choose death and sow to that, and either one will rebound back to you, and that affects your life. So you have consequences of decision, the causes, conditions, successions, and relations related to the choices that we make. The logical progression includes the formation and preservation of God's word of truth, including the faithfulness of God's integrity and the mechanics of inspiration. And part of the logistical grace is the provision of the laws of divine establishment that create and preserve freedom and authority that's necessary for the believer to advance to spiritual maturity. So God, in essence, creates a sphere of freedom around believers who are going to advance. Of course, much of the so-called white privilege today in nations that are related to Western civilization that are either former or present client nations is related to God's grace. And so the reason those nations have prosperity, even though in many cases they don't always do the right things, is because God has integrity toward them because of the positive volition of those that have gone before, and the potential for positive volition to re-exhibit itself. I mean, you could almost say, in fact, in this latest election, that this was God telling believers, that, like he told Elijah, I have 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. So what happens is if the principles of doctrine are deployed and establishment is maintained and reasserted to a greater extent. I mean, it's never going to be perfect in the devil's world, but if it's reasserted to a greater extent and becomes a larger component of life, and there are more people learning it, then you have a lengthening of time with which to continue to glorify God and to bring unto believers into be believers. And of course that enlarges the royal family. So, and provides believers with opportunity to advance. So again, it goes, the establishment principles are what enable the freedom to do that and preserves the believer rather than taking them off the earth, which can happen in areas where there's chronic negative volition, such as, say, in the Middle East at this point. Logistical grace protects human freedom because free volition is necessary for the resolution of the angelic conflict. And this is why Satan attacks divine establishment and attempts to destroy human freedom with the tyranny of political correctness, multiculturalism, and internationalism. So we have a multifaceted attack on divine establishment. And if you'll notice, these are areas where the so-called left or the progressives in our country are, that's their major agenda, every one of these. Political correctness, multiculturalism, internationalism. There's a bunch of others that are related. All of them are related to negative volition to establishment. So negative volition to volition, negative volition to, I should say negative volition to freedom of volition. In other words, you have to be politically correct. And if you're violating political correctness, they will find a way to correct you. And then you have the attacks on marriage and on family and all of the various associated systems that relate to that. So that is, again, areas where Satan is attacking, and it's very simple to look at what is promoted by certain groups and identify where they actually stand regarding God's word. And it's not difficult at all. And whether someone, again, it represents that as a good person or a bad person is irrelevant. What stands is what does the whole group stand for, basically. And as, again, we've seen the potential opportunity in our country now. Live and let live is an axiom of freedom and the World Family Honor Code, and God protects those who live by means of believing God's word of truth under the omnipotent power of God, the Holy Spirit. See, this is the principle, my righteous one shall live by means of faith or by means of doctrine. Privacy is the environment of the function of freedom. The believer's legitimate ownership of private property comes from God's blessing. See, one of the major mandates in God's word, in fact, it's the transitional mandate, is thou shalt not covet. And this is one of the areas that the left in our nation is severely attacking because of their greed, and not simply their greed, but the greed of those who try to use them to plunder the producers. And that's what's, of course, what is in part related to the present political situation. Freedom cannot exist without the umbrella of authority, and freedom and equality are mutually exclusive. The consequence of choices guarantee that when there is freedom, inequality is axiomatic. So that's the thing that people have to understand. It's only in a tyranny that you have equality, because freedom guarantees inequality, because there's consequences for choices. And under that, the consequence for choices, we have 2 Corinthians 13a, where it says we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. That passage simply says that you can be a good example or a bad example. The good example is benefited by the truth. The bad example is destroyed by the truth, or disciplined by the truth, depending on how egregious their failure is and where they are along the curve. Again, you have the concept of warning, intensive, and dying discipline. So depending on where you are along the curve, you may have a different consequence for the same failure or rejection of God's word. But on the other side, you may have a positive volition leads to greater positive volition. In Galatians 6:8, the same idea, one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, from the one who sows to the Spirit will receive from the Spirit eternal life. So here you have the warfare that exists in our thinking that Paul describes, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 7, or maybe 1 Corinthians 7. That's where he's dealing with the doing things that he doesn't want to do and not doing things that he knows he should do, that kind of thing. Of course, that's what that is a battle in the soul between the Holy Spirit and God's Word and the old sin nature and cosmic system. That's the battle we face every day, and we make choices in that continuum that exists between the two. And the challenge is to make consistent choices from a position of strength and from God, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And the choices that are made there by each individual changes the consequences. And of course that creates inequality. So freedom guarantees inequality. Freedom is the motivation for grace orientation and is God's policy for a human race for the purpose of resolving the angelic conflict. See, the only way we can have positive volition that persists is through having freedom. Because if you're under a system of tyranny and you apply God's word, then you're going to die. You know, that's happening right now where ISIS controls. Anybody that's a believer in Jesus Christ over there is under the threat of death. And that's true basically in every area where Islam is raising its ugly head out of control. And that's in more and more places on the earth at this point because the progressives have released the restraining power that God had placed on them after World War I. You know, of course, the restraining power wasn't exactly friendly, but it was effective in restraining that evil. And now that evil has been released, and so now we have to face the reality of an completely released genie. You know, basically you took the cork out of the bottle and you released it, and now it's going to be the scourge of the earth until it's put back in the bottle. And the question is, how and when is that ever going to happen? It may not until Jesus returns. Probably won't, maybe. Depending on the timing. Freedom is a common sense orientation to reality and is a basis for establishing the logistical grace rationale. So the logistical grace rationale is recognizing that God is in control of all things all the time, and he's always coming through for us in the right way that is appropriate. And the challenge to us is to orient to his word and to the legitimate systems of authority in our life to be end up being the recipients of that grace and be able to deploy it in a way that's all maximum beneficial to us and to those in our periphery. So because of the old sin nature, freedom and authority operate in tension. Freedom without authority is anarchy, and authority without freedom is tyranny. And this is the tension we face in any place where there's going to be the freedom. Now, in tyrannical systems, there's just authority that demands compliance, and if you don't comply, you die. And the opposite of that, of course, is the chaos of anarchy, where there are no rules that are enforced, and then in that case you end up with the tyranny of public opinion, which is kind of where we've been going for the last little while in our country. We'll see how that tension goes as we go forward here. Hopefully it moves back a little bit more into the authority and freedom area and less tyranny from public opinion. God has authorized a local assembly as a classroom for learning his word. There will always be local churches for believers to learn doctrine. So no matter what happens, you're always going to have a way to learn God's word, whether by means of face-to-face or non-face-to-face teaching. Academic authority is mandatory, and there must be consistency. So the challenge of the believer is to have positive listening to God's word of truth, no matter what the circumstances. The right pastor is provided for every believer, and no one ever deserves the right to be a pastor, but all kinds of personalities have the spiritual gift. So again, no one individual is everyone's right pastor. That's the thing we always have to realize. And different individuals have a different proclivity and different ability to learn under people with different personalities, and there's nothing wrong with that. So the word of God is the same regardless. So depending on no matter how it's where it's taught or how its application may be slightly different in certain circumstances. But in the final analysis, the objective for the spiritual life is faith, hope, and love, and that's the same for everyone. You know, on top of doctrine is built, which is faith, is built confidence or hope, and from confidence comes integrity, which is integrity love. So that and love is the ultimate power that God provides for us. It exists through the entire range of adult problem solving devices, from personal love to God, for God, all the way to the occupation with Christ, all various categories of love, for the mature believer, based on confidence that God is coming through all the time, and of course that is based on faith or doctrine. So the final analysis, doctrine is really the core component of all of it. If you don't have truth, you don't have anything. And in fact, you can't have love without truth, and you can't have hope without truth. Doctrine, God's word of truth, is really the core of it all. It's the whole thing is established on doctrine. The royal priesthood of the believer is provided for your privacy. Royalty allows you to live your life before the Lord without being bullied by other believers regarding spirituality. In other words, other believers don't have a say in the matter. That's a principle of judging, not judging. And again, that you have to have to recognize the difference between judging and discernment. So discernment is when you specifically identify issues and make a choice for yourself. Judging is when you try to deploy your ideas on other people. Big difference. So we have space to discern in any circumstance. But to judge means to try to foist your ideas on others and to actually force them, maybe even, or condemn them for not complying with your ideas. You have to give them the space to make a different choice. And God will make that work out for them or not, as the case may be, depending on whether what they're doing is right. Again, you can't do anything against the truth, only for the truth. So their example will be either good or bad, depending on what that deviation is. The royal priesthood makes it possible for the believer to be informed without being distracted by criticism, maligning, or judging by others. So your relationship with God is yours, and yours alone, and no one else can impinge upon that. So, and you shouldn't allow anyone to. I suppose you could allow someone to, but that it's not valid. That would be evil. But so you have the privacy of your priesthood before God, and that's where everything that matters actually functions. And out of that privacy, you then can actually function according to God's will or not, as the case may be. The ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, is provided for the perception and metabolization of God's word of truth, and this his enabling power is provided for the believer to apply it within God's power system. God provides logistical grace support for all believers, whether they or not they choose to use it to advance in God's word and glorify God by parlaying it into capacity to receive super grace blessings. So that each of us has equal privilege and opportunity. That's where the equality exists. In fact, that's the only place where equality does exist, and that changes immediately because of the differences in volition. But equal privilege and opportunity can continue to exist. There's always an opportunity to rebound and keep moving in the event that you've made bad choices. So this brings us to the doctrine of super grace. And we'll pick up here next time, since this is a good place to stop. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to provide it for us to study your word, and for the blessing it is to understand it and to live in the logistical grace rationale, recognizing that you are completely in control of all things all the time, and that even though we don't often understand the circumstances and how things are going to work out, you are always turning the curse into a blessing, and you always have a way to ultimately bring what is right around. So help us to orient to that in grace and faith and be confident in you in all circumstances. And we thank you for this now in Jesus' name, amen.